to be able to come here tonight and share. I trust that the things that we're going to say will be as much of a thrill for each one of you as it was for George and I. And just as Jim was just relating here about how this is truly God's outline right here, starting from Genesis and going through to the book of Revelation in seeing God at work. But I think one of the greatest thrills for every one of us in being over there in the land of Papua New Guinea for these last 5 years was to see that, yes, God's word is true and it is alive. Man, when we trust God and walk in obedience with him, God wants to use us and his word is going to come alive. I know one of the verses that's probably one of the greatest thrills to me right now is Romans 1:16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, and praise the Lord also to the Bisorio. We've got to add that one in there now. But I also am thankful for the fact that we have the chance now to share in 3 to 3.5 hours what normally in most churches we only get the chance to share in about a half an hour. So boy, this is a tremendous thrill to us just to be able to share with you what the Lord did in a remote little corner of the world called Papua New Guinea with a group of people that were virtually unheard of before we went in there. And so to begin, I want to share with you a little bit about the Bisorios to give you a background so that you'll have a greater understanding of what it really meant when the Lord saved a large number of Bisorio people. So to begin with, just to tell you a little bit about the Bisorios, they're a group of people numbering about 600, and they're scattered over hundreds of square miles. The Bisorios are a very unique group of people because they do not live in villages the way every other tribe that I've seen in New Guinea does. Instead of living in villages, they've got such a large amount of territory that they'll have one man and they'll live with his family on top of a mountain and they'll have their little garden there. And then their nearest neighbors will be as much as an entire day's walk away through the jungle. And then their next neighbors are another day's walk away. So they're just scattered out over literally hundreds of square miles. The government has had virtually nothing to do with the Bisorio people. The Bisorios, by reason of their remoteness, do not speak the trade language of Papua New Guinea. There are maybe 3 or 4 Bisorios that are, if I may say, semi-fluent in the Pidgin language. When we first went in there, of course, we had to make a contact with the people, and the people were very receptive, very responsive, because of the fact that they recognized their own backwardness. The first time that I had the opportunity to visit the Bisorios, the entire village was a ghost town, because according to Bisorio belief, if there are many people dying, it's not caused by natural reasons. It's got to be the evil spirits, or it's got to be someone working sorcery on them. And so the first time I went there was an epidemic going around Bisorio territory. And as a result of this, the entire village was hiding away out in the mountains there. A couple months later, Steve Lawrence and myself, one of our other missionaries over there, came back on another survey. And this time we pulled up into Bisorio land and got there, and the people had heard we had been there, so they'd sent word out around and gathered a whole bunch of people in. We arrived in the village and tried to communicate with them. 2 of the 4 Pidgin speakers were there in the village. We tried to talk to them, let them know what we had come for, telling them that there was a person named God, a being that we wanted to let them know about. Boy, we just weren't getting to first base with these guys. So I said, okay, are there some of your leaders around? They says, yeah, there's a few guys upriver. We'll go up there, we'll get them, bring them back, and then kind of sit down together and decide whether we're actually going to let you guys live with us. And I said, okay, great, go get them. They went upriver, and that afternoon, from upriver that afternoon, we heard this, yew, 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 yew. Only you magnify that about 20 or 30 times. And as I've shared before, there was almost another little trail out the backside of that little village there. But these guys were coming down in their canoes, pulled up at the bottom of the village, and Steve and I walked down to meet these guys. Got down there, and this one individual who we could see right away was one of their leaders, came up out of the canoe, walked up on the bank, and said, man, I want you guys to look at me. He said, look at this stuff that's hanging out of our nose. The Bisorios pierce their nose. They pierce their ears. They'll have sticks hanging out with feathers tied to the end of that and different bones and talons of birds around their ears. But he said, look at this stuff that we've got hanging down from our nose. And he said, look at my ears, the way we've got them pierced here and these body parts to ward off the evil spirits there. Our hair is up real high on top of our heads and we tie it up in a bun. He said, well, around our waist, we wear nothing but this jungle vine and it gets tight and it cuts into our skin and it causes sores. We have nothing but grass covering us in front and back and that starts rotting and smelling on our bodies. We'll go out into the jungle sometimes and go out there hunting in the afternoon and get stuck overnight and the rain comes down. We have no protection over our heads. We're living like a bunch of wild animals. We're not living any better than the pigs are. You say you want to come here and live with us and tell us about a being called God, then come here and live with us. But we're not happy living the way that we are. And boy, I tell you, that was all that I needed to hear. The Lord spoke to my heart, and we just had the desire to move in and to share with these guys. And once again, what did they want? Did they want us to tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ, the plan of salvation? No way. They had never, ever heard the name of Jesus mentioned. But they wanted their lifestyle to change. Praise the Lord. The gospel will bring a lifestyle. It'll bring a change. But it's a change that brings eternal life as well. After that little confrontation with the Bisodios, we went downriver, got our building materials, came back, put a house together, and then got into the process of language study. That's a little taste of Bisodio language, and that's all we were hearing in those early days. That was being translated. If I speak Bisodio to you, there's no way that you can understand it. And that's the situation we were faced with. We had to begin language study, culture study, finding out what made the Bisodio tick, finding out what are their beliefs about God, what's their belief about the spirit world. And it was very interesting. The more we got to know the people, the more we found out that they were being controlled, literally, by Satan. They were just sitting in the palm of Satan's hands, and their lives were full of fear. They told us of these beings that are, there's thousands of them out in the jungle, that they call Yamas, little guys about 6 inches tall, bright red eyes, long pointed ears, long hair covering their bodies. And they said, these things are out there all over the jungle. We're afraid to go out in the jungle at night, because if we do, we know they're out there and ready with their bows and arrows to shoot us and to take our lives. And then in addition to that, there's a group of beings called the Tsawanakas. And the Tsawanaka, every person that death, their body goes down underground, their torso goes underground, and it becomes a being called a Tsawanaka, a departed ancestor spirit. And if I would die, if my wife wouldn't mourn for me the proper amount of time, well, then I'd get upset and come and shoot her body full of arrows. If my children wouldn't go and dig up my skull after the flesh has decayed off of it, then I'd go out there and go after them. And it's just one thing after another, a system of constant appeasement with the spirit world. And the Bisodios, once again, that's something else that Satan uses to control those people, to keep them to where they're in fear and subjection to him. Then if that isn't enough, there's their enemies downriver called the Inarus, a group of people that before we had gotten there a few years before when they were still fighting constantly with the Inarus, they never knew when they'd get up in the morning, go outside, and the Inarus would have the village surrounded or their house surrounded and just be waiting there with bows and arrows drawn. The first one out, his body becomes a pincushion. Then, of course, that person screams out in fear. The others inside know what's going on. If they run, then they know that they're going to get it because they'll have the place around it. If they stay inside, they'll get burned out until the people finally do come outside. So once again, fear from them. And then we don't have time to go into it, but a whole system of killing amongst the Bisodio people themselves. Boy, as Nobi and I were going over to the land of New Guinea, so many people came up to us and said, what right do you have to go over there and force your religious beliefs on a people that are happy living the way they are? My friend, the Bisodio people are not happy. They are scared to death. And the gospel message is the only thing that can set them free from their bondage and from their fear. Sorcery, Boy, if we had time to go into that. Witch doctors, the power that they've got in the spirit world. But anyway, that gives you at least a background of who the Bisodio people were. We spent 2 years in just learning language and culture. At that time, we had the go-ahead from our field committee. We had passed the fourth language check, meaning we were fluent enough to communicate and be able to evaluate feedback that we would hear from the Bisodios. Then they asked us to spend 1 more year and just digging into culture, making sure that we understood who their concept of a creator was. And boy, as we got in there, we found out that who was the creator? Yahweh, the sun. And he created mankind and then stepped back out of the picture, let mankind go their way, gave them some rules of how to live, how to go about their ceremonial dances, their sing-sings. But then from there, just let mankind go on their way, a very impersonal being. And George will take it from there.
Okay, just before I move on here, I just want to say to you again, and I'll tell you the same thing I told my home church back in New Jersey. Their only purpose for doing this or for sharing what happened is just to fulfill the purpose that we put in our hearts when we came home, is to glorify the Lord and to encourage fellow Christians. God is a living God, and He's able to reach out to the saved. He's able to encourage the Christians who are stumbling and faltering in their own Christian lives. And we're here as nothing, we're nothing more than witnesses. As Bob many times said, that we were just spectators, and that's the truth. We're not here to lift up man, lift up ourselves, and the Lord knows our hearts. We point you to Him and Him alone. I look at ourselves maybe as in a courtroom, and we've been asked to give testimony. And as it said there in the book of Acts, that we've come to rehearse those things that we saw God do. And so as you hear what has happened there amongst the Bisodio, keep in mind, this is the God who you've come to know. And I believe the Lord would challenge your heart, no matter where you're at in your own Christian experience. He would challenge your heart with Himself and with the power of His Word. Okay, like Bob said, it was 3 years studying the language and the culture. And so it came in October of 1981, it came time for us to begin teaching. Now, before that, we had a bit of a pre-evangelistic time and gathering more culture information and so on. So then when we let the Bisodios know now was the time, we told them how we wanted to teach them. And we thought we would go from house to house, hut to hut, and sharing the message of God. And they said, that's the way we do it, is it? That's the way we want to do it. Is this talk bigger, isn't it? You tell us you have important talk to tell us. And again, remember, they don't have a clue what we're about to tell them. They said, if this talk is as big as you say it is, none of this house-to-house stuff, everybody, men, women, and children, everybody will go to the top of the hill and we'll meet there out in the sun. We'll get this talk out in the open, not hidden in the jungle, as they put it. Wow. Yeah, sort of like that. We didn't think we'd get to do it that way. Then we said, okay, well, maybe, when should we do this? Well, how about a couple times a week? Couple times a week? Is this big talker, isn't it? They said to us. Well, we said it's the biggest. That's it. This is why we've come. Why we've been here all this time. Then they said to us of their own accord, if this is as important as you say it is, we want it every day of the week. They said, we'll get our food on the weekends. Man! I know a pastor here that might wish his people went like that every day of the week, Pastor. Go to the grocery stores on the weekend. Man! And so, right off the bat, we were hit with something that we never had even dreamed of. And as far as I was concerned, the Lord was again beginning to prepare the Bisodios for Himself as we were about to begin to teach them. Now, just to let you know, some pre-Bible lessons that we did. Geographical lessons, we had been teaching, or Nobi and Harriet had been teaching the Bisodios literacy at the time and starting them out with learning symbols and beginning to recognize shapes as sounds and so on. We also introduced geographical lessons with maps, and it's a long story and I can't go into it. Anyway, the objective for doing that was to help them to understand that this story is not from America. It's not from Australia. They've heard those terms before. They don't have a clue, not a clue what it means. What is it, a bird or whatever? All they know is it's downriver somewhere. And we wanted them to understand this is not a civilized or a white man's religion. And as we laid out the map, they saw, no, it's not from America, and it's not from Australia. It happened in this little country called Israel. And I guess you'll just have to take my word for it. We really hammered it home. So that they would have an understanding of the overall view of the world and how things were laid out. And from there, we moved into a pre-Bible lesson and gave them the story of how we got the Bible. And just a brief, again, a real summary of how the Lord inspired, he called out from amongst the Jewish people, inspired his holy prophets. And again, the Basodios didn't know who God was, but yet they knew that this being had given this book. And right off the bat, we wanted to set the authority as not being ourselves. We're not the authority. Even we, the civilized man, had to submit ourselves to this book called the Bible. Boy, none of the Basodios would sit there and listen. And the authority of the word was beginning to take root. These just weren't passed on stories like they have themselves. But these are written down. They don't change. And the Basodios, after they heard the stories, we began to see right away how they were teaching each other. One guy would sit in the hut and he would go through the whole story while the whole group of them in the hut were listening to, for example, how we got the Bible story. And it was really exciting to see their interest right off the bat. Anyway, again, they didn't know it was going to take 8 months to teach them. And they didn't have a clue, again, what it was all about. Okay, of course, we had to start with the concept of God after these pre-Bible lessons. And again, reminding you, they had no concept whatsoever of who God was. They thought maybe possibly he was a man. I asked one guy one time, he said, oh, maybe he's as big as Bob, perhaps. And he's probably white skin, and he's probably like your leader. No, he's not like Bob. And you'll be glad he's not once you find out who he is. And there was one guy that came into the house. This is about a year before we began teaching. And he said, when God looks at you, is it hot? I said, what? He says, when God looks at you, is it hot? And I said, no, Maui Ba, you don't have a clue of what you're saying. He said, when you go outside, is it hot if the sun is shining? I said, yeah. He said, well, then I'm asking you, is it hot when God looks at you? And I said, Maui Ba, you could never even see God. If you saw God, you would die. Oh. He said, well, isn't that God? Yage, the sun, isn't that the one you've come to tell us about? No, Maui Ba, you just have to wait. Bob and I got to get your culture and your language better, but you'll hear. Then there was a time also before we began teaching. We're working on the new airstrip that we were building. And one of the guys comes up to me when nobody else is around. He's looking around. He said, come on, tell me a little bit about this God. I said, Tabo, I don't know your language good enough and your culture. We can't begin to teach that. Come on, just a little bit. Nobody's around. I said, Tabo, you'll just have to wait. He said, well, just tell me this one thing. After we build this airstrip, is God going to be flying in on the first airplane? Well, it was right then and there, some of these incidents that began to dawn on me, the Basodios were out in left field. And talk about starting from scratch. Well, praise the Lord, we got the opportunity to start from scratch. A thing you have to realize about the Basodios, I better take this off so it stays up in front of me and out of my wrist, is that there's an eternal sky and an eternal ground in their thinking. The ground was sort of always there. And the sky, well, they don't know where that came from. They didn't know where the sun came from. It was just sort of always there. So in the Basodios' thinking, we saw immediately that we had to get the Lord on the other side, so to speak, of the ground and the sky, which were sort of always there. They didn't know. And so we began right from the beginning of who God was and who he wasn't, telling them about God's eternity. That he had no beginning and no ending. He was before the ground. He was before the sky. sort of would just look at us? No beginning? No ending? Oh, surely he just came up nothing, as they said. No, he didn't come up. He didn't come into being. He was always there, no beginning and no ending. Man, I'd sit there. No beginning? No mother or father. That's right, no mother or father. And then we began in to try to build the concept of a spirit being. He has no body. He what? He has no body. But you see, you have to understand that the Basidios, even their spirits that come and go and disappear, have bodies. And they have hair. And you can draw blood from them if you shoot them and so on. But something without a body, how do you contain that? So we saw right away, and again, this is in our story. This is what the scriptures teach. And the Basidios began to, their attention was immediately caught. This is a new concept. From everlasting to everlasting, the scripture says, he is God. And we got a foothold right off the ground. And then we'd go out and we have little rap sessions with them maybe during these Bible lessons. No ground. There was no ground. The ground wasn't there. Wachia. What would you do if there was no ground? Why? You sort of need that, don't you? No water. No food. He's not like your spirits that need food and water. He's greater. The Basidios began to get the idea that this isn't just a regular little folklore story that they've heard all their lives from their different myths and legends and so on. And we would challenge him on these bases and constantly pitting man, the weakness of man against God, and their spirit world against God, how greater he was. And then we began, after we developed the character of the Lord, just of who he was and who he wasn't in his basic essence, talking about, like for instance, even in their spirits need the tops of trees to live in. There were no trees. Where do you think he lived? Where do you think he walked? Whoa. They would say, in amazement, just pondering that. And they'd get talking back and forth to each other, you know. It was exciting, considering this. And we're really glad that the Lord led us to get that initial foothold right there through who he is. Then we began to take them through creation day by day. And it wasn't just a matter of saying, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and then just going on and leaving it at that. But I believe that the Lord has given us the scriptures that through that the details of the scriptures, this is where he is revealed. In Romans, it tells us that it's the glory of the Lord is revealed. And we were beginning to use creation, going into detail what the Lord said happened to develop who he is. It's not enough just to believe that God is there type deal. And so we began to challenge the Basidios as we went through the scriptures, emphasizing as we went through that it was God that he spoke. He spoke and it was created from nothing. When there was nothing, he spoke, and all of a sudden there was the heavens and the earth. And the Basidios started to marvel at that, because everything they do, they have to use something, and so do we. And as it were, as we went through the scriptures, God began to develop. And it began to dawn on Bob and I. We spent about 3 weeks just in creation. What a responsibility. Anything that the Basidios were thinking about this God of the Bible was falling off of these two lips. What a privilege. But at the same time, what a responsibility. And I started wondering how much I knew the God of the Bible myself. When we began to delve into the scriptures, really seeing what he had done. Now, keep in mind, the Basidios never had any contact whatsoever with the outside world. Never any contact with Christianity. So they didn't have any other concepts apart from their own cultural beliefs to draw upon. Then we went through the scriptures. God is a good God. How many times does it say there in the scriptures that after God created something, he saw that it was good? He never does bad, Basidios. No, never. He's not like even your good spirit, sometimes doing bad and sometimes doing good. He never does bad. This one never does bad. Never, no, never. He doesn't cause confusion. He's a good God. He's a kind God. He separated the light from the darkness and gave you daytime and nighttime. What would you do, Bisodios, if it was nighttime all the time? When would you work? When would you visit? You'd be scared to death all the time, thinking the spirits were running loose at nighttime. How about if it was daytime all the time? How would you keep track of time? How would you know when you're supposed to meet your relatives at a certain mountain? How would you count the days? If it was just light, light, light all the time. He's a good God. And then we moved into the creation of the plant life. How he gave them food to eat. What would you do if there was no food? Wake up, Bisodios, wake up. We challenge them. Look around you. And if we saw maybe a bird fluttering through the message, while we're doing the message. Look, here goes a bird. Where did that come from? Look at the trees, the mountains, the water, everything. Wake up. We've come to tell you about the God of creation. This isn't just like one of your little goni mice, or your kowanage, or your tomuhapa. He was before all things. And you know, the Bisodios began to get gripped by this. And we began to see how God was taking his word and revealing himself to them. Moving along to the fourth day of creation, the sun, the moon, and the stars. Man, this was important. The sun was their creator. That's where they had come from originally. But they didn't know where the sun came from. Well, we had some inside news to clear that up for them. And by this time, God began to loom large above anything that they had ever thought or even dreamed was capable. He was looming largely before them. And so we were acting out how, we gave the example about how the sun was just there. Do you see a hand holding that up, Bisodios? How is that in there? And it's God holding up by his word. And we pointed to the Lord of glory who holds it up by his word and keeps everything going. And I'm not saying this to embarrass anyone, but I'll tell you quite frankly, one man spoke up and he said, "Stop talking like that. Can't you see my urine spilling on the ground?" And he was serious. He wasn't joking. And he was gripped by the God of creation. And the Bisodios would sit there. At this time we had about 35 or 40 listening to us. They were amazed. And creation became alive to them. It meant nothing before they heard the word of God. No, nothing. And they began saying, they see a rainbow, or they saw the rain coming, or the wind blowing, and so on. Now God is showing us he is God. God is showing us he is God. All the time. Right there, you ask him. He was there too. Man, this is what we wanted. This is the foothold we wanted. It was exciting, to say the least. Matter of fact, after we had believers, I'll just throw this in here. It just came to my mind. Sitting in, and New Guinea is known for its earthquakes. And they come quite often. We live in a mess of faults. And you feel earthquakes on a regular basis, tremors. And I'm sitting in the office with one of these believers, and I've taken you way ahead. But it just came to my mind how they're always saying God is showing us he is God through creation as they see it. Even as believers, that's one of their main things they talk about. And I'm sitting in the office, and all of a sudden, man, I got up and started heading for the door. He's sitting there like nothing's going on. And he said to me, "What's the matter? You weren't afraid, were you? He's just showing us he's God." Oh, boy. Well, I figured I have to do a little reteaching. Not reteaching, but a little, he can show us he's God, but maybe outside, huh? When our little office building falling on our heads. Anyway, I really believe that this is, and again, we're really just skimming the surface of their responses and how we taught them there those first 3 weeks, just in creation. Remember, Monday through Friday were the Bible lessons. And they weren't just 20-minute sermons. They were about an hour 15 to an hour and a half long. The Bisodios didn't want it any less. And I'll never try to get across to them it should be any shorter until they choose themselves that they might want it shorter. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and knowledge. Isn't that what the scripture says there in Proverbs? What better way to start off but teaching from the scriptures who God is from creation, that they would respect him and that they would fear him. And you know, this began to dawn upon us that how creatorship was involved in God's sovereignty. You notice in creation that God made Adam, and then the scripture says he put Adam in the garden which he had made. He didn't ask Adam, well, Adam, would you like to live here? Do you think that is this garden suitable for you? He didn't ask Adam any questions. He made Adam and then put him. And so I challenge the Bastardios on this one thing. How about if I tell you to do that? What God did there in putting Adam in the garden, is that a good thing or is that a bad thing? Oh, no, that's a good thing. God never does bad. See, they've learned from creation. God never does bad. He never does confusing things. He's a good God. Well, when God took Adam and made him and then just put him without asking, is that a good thing that he did? Oh, yes, that's a good thing. Why? I said, Tabo, how about if I told you to tear your hut down? And then you're going to tear your hut down and you'll build it where I will tell you to build it. And you'll live there and then I'll tell your wife to live someplace else. How about if I tell you to do that? Oh, he says, we don't have to listen. You're just a man. And one guy jumped right up and said, yeah, we don't have to listen to anything you say. Want to take advantage of that opportunity there? I says, that's right. You cut me and I bleed too. That's right. I'm just a man. But how about if God tells you? And it went around for about 15 minutes discussing amongst themselves, and I let them just have like a little rap session there. And then finally, Tabo stood up, and after he had heard that principle before, he latched onto it. And he said, because he made us, he can tell us what to do. Tabo, stop it right there. Would you mind standing up, please? Let everybody hear that. And I let him say that out loud. That's it, and then we hit them. If you make a canoe, can anybody just come along and take the canoe and do what he wants? Oh, no, there's an owner. There's an owner. Well, how about your house? If you build a house, whose house is it? Can somebody from another tribe downriver just come in and do whatever they want? Oh, no. And it began to dawn upon us how this is how the Lord got his foot in there, not only through creation, but because in the Bastardios' mind, creatorship equals ownership, and the owner can do as he pleases. The Bastardios were quick to grasp that. Then I hit them on this one thing. The Lord brought it to mind, and I thought, well, that's it. That possibly we'll go with this. And I said to the Bastardios, okay. And they're all agreeing, yes, because God has made us. We need to do what he says. Yes, we got to obey the Lord. And they're all agreeing, you know, they're all nodding their head. Yeah, yeah, we got to do what he says. We need to pay attention. And I said, if you have to do what he says then, how is it that when the dead ancestor spirit comes, the Sawanaka comes, and says, sacrifice a pig sacrifice to me, or I will kill you. Why is it that you go ahead and offer pig sacrifices to them? And how about the Koanage, the spirit of the animals, when he comes to you and says, get out there, and build me traps, or I'll go to the headwaters and cause an avalanche, and the water will become flooded and dirty, and you won't be able to get any of the fish, or I'll come and shoot you with arrows. How he speaks through the witch doctors and the dreams and so on. Why is it that you go out there and build those traps to the spirit of the animal? I think perhaps he made you, since you're obeying him and doing what he tells you. Oh. Oh. What are we going to do? And we began to bring God in contact with their spirit, so to speak, pitting God of the Bible against their spirit world. And there had to be something that gave. And I ended the lesson right there, and one of the guys stood up. He says, boy, this is really important. Let's think about this and talk about this tonight. After I dismissed the Bible class. Well, I said we better move along. Just let me say that one thing. That is the bottom line. That either you acknowledge God as creator, and it's not just a matter of saying, oh, yes, I believe in God. That's not good enough, according to Romans 1. Read it for yourself, Romans 1, 18 through 32. God takes this serious. Why does it say he gave up the world? Because what? because they would not acknowledge who he was. Not just that he existed, but it talks about his glory, his divine being, his glory, his eternal power that was revealed. Because men would not acknowledge that. God gave them over. Did he just do it lightly? When God gave man over, he did a pretty thorough job. Read your newspapers if you do not believe it. If you don't believe that he gave them over, read your newspapers. Read Romans 1, and if you don't believe the Bible, then read the newspapers, because it's all there. All the filth we see today started there. Because he would not bow to who God was, who Creator. And we got that understanding that if they will not bow to him as Creator, they'll never come to him as Savior. Never. Never. But praise be to God that we got that foothold, because the Basodios, after 3 weeks of teaching, were absolutely bowled over by this God of creation. He had grabbed their attention to who he was. And they're going around saying, God is showing us he is God. Looking at things. Tremendous. And they bowed the knee to the living God. And I believe it was because they did that God hungered them to receive more. Had they poo-pooed it, oh, yeah, well, look, we got our creation stories. I don't think they would have gotten to first base. I really don't. I really don't. Isn't it funny that the thing Satan is hitting on this in these last days is evolution? Oh, that's no coincidence. Why do we think that the Bible starts with creation? Oh, God has a lot to say about it, but we can't go into all the detail. You look on what God says. I am the one who made the heavens and the earth. Thus saith the Lord in Isaiah. Look at it when he's beginning to give a promise. Thus saith the Lord who made heaven and the earth. And then he gives his credentials first, and then he says that's why the promise will not fail, because of who I am. God takes it serious. We got scientists today looking in microscopes and saying we're nothing but a salt solution and so on. But sad to say, many of them will go into hell looking at their microscopes, because they will not bow the knee to the God of the creation. And be they from New York or be they from Philadelphia, it doesn't make any difference. God will not look at a suit and a tie. Because these Basodios, who I'm sure somebody from the civilized world, don't even want to get near them. That's all right. The Lord Jesus died for them, and he sent us there to tell them about his wonderful self. Do you have anything in between here? I don't think so. Okay, quickly. From creation, we gave them the background of the Trinity. And of course, they found it hard to understand, just like we do. But we let them know that it was God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, because don't you see, if we just had God the Father and God the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament, and then we got to the New, and here is introduced God the Son. Where did he come from all of a sudden? See? And we didn't want that. We wanted them to have the background. We went through the creation of angels, why God created it, who they were, how God had created them good, how he had put the head over one of called Lucifer, and so on. The fall of Lucifer. And we went into the beginning of evil and where it originated and everything. And how this one called Lucifer, and they knew the whole story because we gave them the whole thing. This one was after them. He was out to damn their souls because he hated them. And he hates God. Well, Yafagana. But you know what? Inside their hearts, you could see it. Scales were beginning to... They were beginning to put two and two together. They're terrified by their spirit world. Absolutely terrified. But now they were getting the true story. And even though it terrified them to think that Satan was after their souls, yet it was an eye-opener for them. It was an enlightening thing. We went through and we began to teach them how God had created man in his image. To give them a little respectability. Give them that blessed divine dignity that God bestows upon us because we're human beings. And we describe the Garden of Eden, that after God created Adam, he put him in this wonderful garden, Basodios. And we really told it as it probably was. An abundance of good. What do we think was there? Man, picture it yourself. And something important to the Basodios. There was no thorns. There was no stickers. Oh, is that place still there? They said. No wild pigs to come and eat your food. Can you imagine that? Do you go there, they said? No, it's not there. And Adam knew only good. And we told the Basodios, you say God is good because of what you heard here. And that's right. And he doesn't do confusing things. He doesn't do bad things. He only creates good. Then why is it you're living like you are? Look at yes. Scrounging around from day to day just for your very existence. Miley, look at your legs. Sores from head to foot. And you're telling me God is good? Something happened. Yes, God is good. Something happened. We weren't just going to let them yes us to that. Yes, God is good. God is good. Yes, God is good. But something else happened. Don't just leave it there, Basodios. Think. Think. We didn't want this to be superficial. We had to come right across and hit him where it counted. You just buried so-and-so today. What happened? And they started talking. Yeah. What happened? Boy, and they started talking. Boy, if I can only get my hands on the guy who messed it up. Talked about they'd like to get him and get him with an axe or something, you know. That's their response. They wanted to get the guy that blew it. Okay, let's go on, Bob.
Okay, I trust you guys are comfortable. It's been 57 minutes, and we're about halfway through Genesis chapter 1. We're going to take you through Acts, so hold on to your seats. We're going to start moving out here. But at this point, there was something that was thrilling for George and I. There was an individual in Visodio land called Pauila, and that guy was a rascal through and through, and it seemed like he would only come on the scene just to cause trouble of some kind. Right when I was really getting going in language study, I had an informant called Hadibio, the fellow that I was describing that was talking about the vine belt and the grass front and back. But old Pauila came on the scene, and he tried to lure a bunch of these Bisodios to where they'd go out and work on a plantation. And so these guys were gone for a couple of years. My number one translation informant just kind of pulled out from under my feet. And so whenever Pauila would come around, it seemed like he was always trying to get something going or trying to get the people stirred up over something. And on one occasion, he came back, and old George and I were kind of sitting there, oh no, here we go again. What's he going to be up to this time? But boy, the Lord sent him along for a specific purpose. He came in, he was just there for about a week, but he walked into the village and just out of the clear blue said to me one day, he said, hey, have you ever heard the story of Tawa Yibi? And I said, no, I've never heard that one. He says, well, here, let me tell you about it real quick. And he told me the Bisodio's viewpoint on death, their story on death, why people die, and then some other things, which I'll just share with you real briefly. But here's the story. He got going on it. I said, man, stop. I've got to get a tape recorder. I've got to get this recorded so that we won't forget it. We've got to get this stuff written down. But he went and told me this story about when the Bisodios first came into existence. They were walking around down here on the earth, and then this one man one day started climbing up this tree that is called the Uwai tree. And he got up in the top, way up into the blue part of the sky, and there's seven rivers up there. And he decided to take a bath in one of these rivers and got in. And boy, his body was changed. Instead of it being old like he used to be, he became just like a little baby. And this bark from the Uwai tree, he took it and rubbed it on his skin. And instead of his skin being wrinkly, it was soft and smooth, just like a little baby's. And he says, boy, I can't keep this to myself and just to my wife here. I've got to go down and tell the other Bisodios about it. So he went back and he got a gourd and he filled it up with this water, went climbing down this tree and got some of this bark from the Uwai tree, went down to the ground, he looked over at the side. He saw a Bisodio woman and her little boy going through this brook. And he yelled out, Bede Hadayabe Anagilo, which means eternal ones. And they didn't hear him. They came out and they got out of the stream, climbed up on the other side and were walking along. So then he said, Humabe Anagilo, oi, which means dying ones. And they were out of the water. They heard him and said, oi, you know, what's up?